Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/realID or visit your local DMV.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 9th, 2025. I always have to look down there at the calendar. WWE Raw post-show review. Oh, man. There's a lot that happened tonight. There is, my God, there's just so much that happened tonight that it's insane. A lot of talking points. Let's get right to it. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. If you want your topic, your subject, your comment read on the air, you can also go to humperchats.com. That will be useful for this Wednesday as there is another four-hour Dynamite. We do have a post show at midnight, but let me tell you, you want to get those humper chats in early. So let's talk about this WWE Monday Night Raw. Of course, always, FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business. Have news on The Inspiration, have news on WBD and AEW, and a Bang Bus-inspired gimmick. Yeah, that was the one. There's just so much that went on tonight. I'm sitting here and talking with Rob Wilkins, like, what should the thumbnail be? On a show where a world title changed hands. You got R-Truth cutting his hair. You got CM Punk, John Cena, face-to-face. Lots of stuff there in a big world title change. We are going to jump right into it. First thing I noticed was Wade Barrett on commentary tonight as Pat McAfee was gone. And I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting, because so many people put over Corey Graves to me personally this weekend. Because of his AAA commentary, I'm like, what is their big issue with Corey Graves doing commentary at this stage on a major show? I like Wade Barrett. He's really great. But that is something that I noticed, and I was like, oh, okay. We also got the King and Queen of the Ring brackets, and I said, okay, awesome. I looked at these brackets, and I was blown away. I go, oh, damn, 16-person tournament? They're going to have just match nonstop throughout the next few weeks leading into Night of Champions. I didn't look well enough because they're all fatal four-way matches, which I want to say this. The graphic and the matches themselves, the matches themselves, the four-ways are going to be good. But, boy, will that lead to a big complaint for tonight. So let's run through the Queen of the Ring and King of the Ring brackets. Queen of the Ring, Rhea Ripley, Kairi Sane, Liv Morgan, Roxanne Perez, match one. Then next week on Raw, Asuka, the returning Asuka. She got a video package later on, but the returning Asuka. You couldn't have done little question marks there for her. You couldn't have built that up as a mystery opponent. Couldn't have done that. What is with that? Why is it that you can't add like some intrigue to that? I was like, all right, man. All right. Well, we got the video package later on. It just seemed a little unusual. Like maybe they wanted to hype it up and say, Asuka fans, watch next week. But I mean, then just revealing it in a random graphic? What? All right, then. On SmackDown, there is Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Chelsea Green, Candice LeRae. And then there is Jade Cargill, Mee Shin, Piper Niven, and Nia Jax. On the men's side of things, we have, let's see here. Sami Zayn, Penta, Braun Breaker, and Dom Mysterio on the Raw side. Next week, we get Sheamus, Rusev, Bronson Reed, and question marks, a mystery opponent. I want to know who you guys think it is. I don't know who it is right now. Could be, listen, if they make it Mystery Iguana, who also got a big video package tonight and a Fightful Select report about how much he impressed people, which he retweeted the aggregation of it, by the way. So clearly something he's heard about, but they did his video stuff. They were brainstorming merchandising ideas. Like, they are on the ball about Mr. Iguana right now. And from all indications, a lovely dude. I see a lot of people saying Elia. Listen, I would really love that. I would love that. Didn't he have an ACL tear? And listen, I'm not going to say it's impossible. If anybody can pull it off, it's him. But we're talking about him having an ACL tear. And like, he didn't get that surgically repaired until the beginning of October. It is the beginning of June. So I'd be like, okay, that would surprise me, but I know he was not out about this time of year. No, it is not getting around that time. Like, maybe it's a possibility. And I see people saying, dude's a freak. Listen, I name me all the people that have come back in like, what, 7 months after an ACL tear. I would love to see it. I hope we see it. I'm just not holding my breath for that. SmackDown side of things, Aleister Black, Carmelo Hayes, LA Knight, and Randy Orton. And then you've got Cody Rhodes, Damian Priest, Andrade Nakamura. So, I thought these were all going to be one-on-one matches, and I saw the pair-ups, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. And then when I thought about the way that this regime has been booking lately, I was like, oh, well, I know what's going to happen here. It's going to be a bunch of fatal four ways. You're going to have a person who can afford to take the pin instead of having compelling matches. And you're going to have a lot of interference, even though there's four people in the match and you don't really need that crutch. And that is exactly what we saw on both of the King and Queen of the Ring matches tonight. It is lazy, uninspired stuff. Now, I'm sure they'll turn around next week and maybe, Lord willing, not have interference in both. But how does this get through how does this get through creative where they're like, let's do the same finish a bunch of times? It's boring. You know the matches are going to be good. Let me make that clear. Performers, good. Matches, fun. Love watching Braun Breaker do crazy stuff. Lazy ass booking. Real lazy booking. Okay, we complaining about what exactly? Are you listening? Experience an ignorant show. Maybe you should eliminate experience from your title. What are we complaining about exactly? Well, I am complaining about the fact that WWE could have had a very compelling tournament. They could have even had a four-way play-in, for the love of God. But instead, what they did was they were like, you know what? You know what we should do? We should do like 8 fatal four-way matches over the next couple of weeks and then put interference in almost all of them. My God, what are we complaining about exactly? Lame, lazy booking. That's what we're complaining about. Luis, please add Vicky, our friend Vicky's chat, if you don't mind. Man. Either way, the brackets are what they are. I was way more excited before I realize these were all fatal four-way matches. I will rant more about that later on. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. If you haven't already, I can't tell you how important that is to us. But Chad Gable, AJ Styles, they just had a good-ass match, man. They just had a good match. There wasn't a lot of extras. There wasn't a lot of additional stuff. I loved that Chad Gable came out still selling the fact that he had two matches, even though he, quote unquote, didn't have two matches. And I mean, sincerely, I think that Domino ladder match was like, or that Domino ladder spot was one of the most incredible ladder spots I've ever seen in my entire life. It was incredible. Really enjoyed the finish of this as well. AJ getting that win. A lot of people ask me about his contract status. I promise I'm working on it. I'm working on it. But him getting the win here was pretty interesting in that regard. It's not, they're not just jobbing him out. He beat Finn Balor, I want to say, less than a month ago. He won tonight against Chad Gable. He beat Cross in April. So he's winning about a match per month. Not exactly the cadence of a guy who seems like he's on the way out, right? And he can still go. Like, geez, man. Like, he's 48. And it's funny because he wrestled a style that a lot of people, you know, all the old heads for every style. Oh, they're not going to last. They're not going to last. Well, here's AJ still putting on good WWE Raw matches at age 48 with, again, one of the... with one of the top talents in the world. So there's at least plenty of credit to be given to Chad Gable. By the way, that German suplex, I've always loved how AJ takes them. He doesn't take them straight on, back on his neck or head or anything, or his arms. He takes them like on his shoulders and rolls through it. I think that's just a really, really good way to do it. I love this match. Thought this was really good. Didn't Mox win a decent amount on his way out? That is not a super chat or humper chat, but you know what? I'm going to look that up right now. I'm going to check that out and see. Well, I mean, they gave him like, wasn't it like the goodbye Shield run that they ended up giving him on his way out? So, I mean, that one was a little bit, obviously a little bit different, but yeah, I mean, that's what he was getting. He was getting, like, the Shield goodbye tour. But no, he lost to Drew McIntyre on TV in a last man standing. Lost to Drew McIntyre in a Falls Count Anywhere. Lost to Elias. Lost to Drew McIntyre in a no DQ match. Lost to Drew McIntyre in a two-minute match. His last win was EC3. And EC3 actually beat him one of those times. So I'm looking, lost to Seth Rollins, lost to Lashley as well. Damn, they did job him the hell out, which he was on his way out. You get the most out that you can out of him. So like, I honestly got no problem with that. No problem in the world with that. If a guy is leaving the company and he's willing to do business, you put over people, especially somebody that they had as much stock in as that. Just no issue. Ryan says, won't happen, but looking for Oba to battle the big boys, then beat Cody and lose to Sammy. Listen, I'm completely fine with that idea, but also I look at things and I'm like, oh, well, do they need their champion of NXT going up there and losing to anybody when he looks the way that he does? Like, I look at Obafemi and I'm like, all right, well, I believe that he could just beat anybody. And I want to keep that belief. I don't want him putting anybody over. I like the idea that he can beat anybody in the world.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
We got Vicky, our good friend, saying, "Hi, SRS. This is for the hardest working guy and his team of Luis and Zach tonight." Zach, a wonderful moderator. And Luis has just done incredible stuff with Fightful Select Espanol. If you guys haven't checked that out, please do. And please also check out our wonderful sponsors at Nord. If you aren't watching wrestling with NordVPN.com/Fightful, you are not watching wrestling in the best way. I know times are tough. Money is tight. NordVPN.com/Fightful can eliminate your cable bill if you just watch wrestling. You can watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on Netflix by changing your virtual location with just one click. You can watch pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change that virtual location and get the prices they're getting overseas. In addition, all the wonderful features that we haven't even mentioned. But right now, you save big. 4 extra months free and a 30-day money-back guarantee when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. By the end of this subscription, you're going to be saving money. NordVPN.com/Fightful. NordVPN is truly like a godsend for wrestling fans. Save money on pay-per-views, get all of the WWE shows with one subscription, pay less for those UFC cards that are just the most insanely overpriced stuff. Here's one. This absolute dork. Look how dorky this guy looks. "Will using Nord keep me from getting mad SRS DMs for posting his content and giving him credit? Well, here's what it'll do, Randall. It will at least give you some redeemable quality. Getting NordVPN.com/Fightful will at least give you something in your life that will make people look at you and go, well, at least that's a redeeming quality about him. At least he is not so stupid, so dumb, that while obsessed with Sean Ross Sapp and a message that he posted or a message he sent a month ago, that he still comes to Sean Ross Sapp shows after doing videos crying, oh my God, Sean asked me to credit the work that he did. He didn't want me to post it 3 seconds after he posted it on his paywall service that pays for 40 staff members because I don't know what a job is. And then call up your friend and say, hey, can you also post a video about Sean? Nobody's watching mine. The only way I can get attention is when Sean drags my ass on his post show. Ah! At least that friend will be like, damn, man, you're an absolute loser. And yes, I'll do it because you've got NordVPN.com/Fightful. At least there's that. And listen. For all the time you spend on the internet, you at least have the fastest VPN in the world while you do that. Thank you for the segue. And next time, if you got anything to say to me, DMs are open, Playboy. They're open. Not difficult to contact. But yeah, if you take the paywalled content that I have worked on and that pays for Luis, Zach, pays for the guy doing the thumbnail right now, Rob, pays for our staff of 40, and then you immediately post it, you're probably going to get a message from me that says, hey, could you please have some common courtesy and some respect for that and not do that? Because it's kind of a shitty thing to do. Makes sense. Thanks for visiting, Randall. Glad that I could get you more attention right here than you have ever gotten on the internet. We got John sending this super chat. John, I don't know where the comment is, but thank you to Luis for sorting these out. Vicky, Vicky sent her super chat earlier, and I wanted to get back to that. For the hardest working guy and his team, Luis and Zach tonight. Vicky, you pumped up about seeing hopefully Darby back. Hopefully Darby back. And maybe Sting at All In. That's what I'm expecting. Can you do more X Spaces again? Love the last one. Listen, saw a lot of people getting called out on Twitter this week for, how about this one? Yeah, boy, Tony Khan a couple years ago posted a thing saying, hey, guys, just so you all know, there's an elaborate group of trolls and bots that post a lot of anti-AEW stuff, and a lot of people were trying to dunk on him. And then what happened this week? There was a video from a person who actively participated in those coordinated troll jobs against members of the media, AEW wrestlers, just AEW fans in general, spilling the beans about how a lot of that stuff was coordinated, including harassment against EBay. Wasn't that far from the truth. Listen, any of those people want to hop on one, I'm happy to do that. It's funny, you always see the SRS blocked me because, and then there's always the paper trail of weird behavior, right? Like then when they're confronted with the paper trail and people are listening live and can say, man, that's weird. They don't seem to have an answer for that, including where is he? Where is, oh my God. I can't find old Jelly Roll up there. Looking like he's about to talk to God because he needs a favor in my chat. Oh, man. So let's talk about this Cena promo. Cena comes out and does the same old boring shit that he's been doing for the last couple months. This has been one of the most uninspired heel turns I have ever seen. And I see a lot of people go, oh, well, maybe Vince was smarter. Maybe Vince was smarter than we thought. No, that man was stupid as shit. By the time he was in his 70s, that man was just boring as hell. Had no creative ideas. He could not have booked this even better or any better. It would have sucked with him as well, but it's scripted. You can make this not suck. You had the one guy that a you people promo really, really, really works with. And he just came out and did the every lame trope. Oh my God, guys. Here, let's do another. Introduce me again. Ah, yeah. Okay, man. Cool. Well, CM Punk came out. And I just want to say this. I'm ecstatic for the moment, excited for the match and all that. But listen, there's one giant elephant in the room. Brandon Cavallaro says, Punk in Saudi, surely they weasel out. So what we will do is operate on the assumption that he's doing it. Punk comes out and he says, it was me against the Institution in 2011, and it still is. Because you were TKO's pick. I'm not standing for TKO. I'm not standing for the billionaires. I'm standing for the people. And I was like, oh, that's going to happen, huh? And then he goes, I want a match tonight. And Cena goes, no, how about Saudi Arabia? You can follow me there. And I was like, oh, shit. So here's one of two things will happen. They will get CM Punk out of it. And CM Punk will be like, look, everybody who criticized me, wrong. Or they'll do it, and there's going to be a lot of question marks and a lot of side-eyeing at CM Punk, who said, let me make sure I got the quote right. He said to The Miz, quote, go suck a blood money covered dick in Saudi Arabia, you fucking dork, end quote. Now, CM Punk's political and social feelings in Saudi Arabia aside, that is I mean, one of the more famous comments that CM Punk uncorked during his WWE absence. And this is before he had rejoined AEW. So it wasn't like he was there and just being like, yeah, AEW. He was sharing some pretty unfiltered thoughts, probably never expecting to go back to WWE at that stage. Now, I would imagine at some point before this, he's going to share his thoughts and he will probably say something along the lines of, well, I thought on it, and if I want to cultivate change, I need to participate and be a part of that change. And I mean, there have certainly been a number of people over the last, gosh, 7-8 years that they've done this that changed their minds on going. And there were some people who said they would never go back after the plane ride. And you know, Cena was back last year or 2023. There's a lot of people who just didn't think that Punk would go. In some fairness, Punk did say he apologized to Miz for that comment. No, they made good when he showed up at WWE Raw in 2023 and got kicked out. He actually made good with the Miz there. I don't know what specifically was said. I wasn't a part of that conversation, but I mean, that is certainly something that you have to look at and you got a side eye. And I mean, Punk, as Luis is pointing out, he was working for Fox Sports at the time. So that is certainly something that everybody's got to, they don't got to look at. But I'm sitting there wondering, like, what changed? Was it just that he came to WWE? Are they testing him? Like, what was the tipping point for CM Punk to say, well, not all dicks have to be blood money covered. Could just go over there and do some light dry humping instead, as opposed to sucking a blood money covered dick. Maybe that could be the change. Maybe there were boundaries set. You never know what somebody's comfortable with in that regard. Either way, it would appear as of now that he's doing the match. It is official. Official. Seth came out, taunted using his briefcase on Punk and Cena. Dave Koss says, masterpiece of a show tonight, in my opinion. Four ways are crutches, but they're lights out performance-wise, and Punk was the only thing I wanted to see this Cena do. So, yeah, I'm excited for the match. I mean, I'm covering the show, obviously. I love afternoon wrestling. I just realized, guys, there is not like a night PLE, WWE, AEW show until All In Weekend when they're doing Saturday night's main event and Evolution. Damn. We got some afternoon stuff for like a month straight for what we're doing. I'm excited about that. Very, very happy about that. Well, that's my thing, Dave. Like, I don't feel bad complaining about the booking because the booking's lazy as hell. That's it. I know the matches are going to be good. Very rarely do I see a bad WWE match. There are NXT on occasion, some of the lesser things. I'll see some that are just like, not good. But like WWE main roster, I rarely see like bad matches. And they do 3-4-way matches really, really great. They're agented very well. It's just when you have to throw interference in, like, what the hell are we doing here? Which is what we saw later on. Parker Hines says, can you see a dark side of the ring on that plane ride from Saudi? I could. It's just a matter of getting people to talk about it. Now that Vince is gone and there are a lot of those people outside of WDB. I have had a couple people who have said that they will tell me the full story on what they know. And what I might do is put together a story for like an anniversary or something. But that was a wild one to cover in real time, man. I was getting messages from people as they were stuck on the plane and were honestly pretty fearful, pretty fearful. But the relationship has strengthened since then. Oh, Alex sends a humper chat. I am so sorry to hear this. He says, lost my brother-in-law due to suicide last week. Remember, everyone, there's always someone to talk to. Reach out for help, please. Love you all. I would always encourage people to check out NAMI. It is such a wonderful organization that I've had the benefit to work alongside for over 10 years with their NAMI walks and doing fundraisers and the like. But the National Alliance on Mental Illness has a lot of just fantastic resources that can help out. And it is just one of the great organizations in America that helps out this sort of thing. So I would highly encourage that. And Alex, I am so sorry for your loss, my friend. So sorry for your loss. We had Liv and Roxanne encounter each other backstage. Roxanne said, maybe we help each other tonight and we make sure that one of us advances. Honestly, that was when I realized it was a fatal four-way and I was like, God damn it. But Roxanne is a favorite of mine to watch, so I'm just excited to see her in these situations. I do feel like they did her a bit of a disservice with how they introduced her in having her lose so much, but because they have integrated her with Judgment Day, it's been able to blend a little bit, and it's able to be hidden because they've done really good teasing this Liv Morgan stuff. So Roxanne gets the win. Rhea and Kairi were going at it a lot during this match. And of course they had their match. Well, no, it was a triple threat because that's what they do. That's what they do, right? But since where Zoe got hurt. But of course there's even interference in the four-way because Raquel's got to get involved. It's not enough that Roxanne and Liv are there. Raquel's got to get involved, and Kairi jumps on them. So they're probably going to do a triple threat there, too. And Rhea ends up pinning Kairi or something like that. Hell, I don't know. But Roxanne steals one, and she's awesome. She is great. And Dave Koss is the dichotomy. Actually, let's save that one for the promo, Luis, that the Dave Koss super chat that we got there. But Roxanne winning makes me happy because I'm like, okay, I want to see her like accomplish some things. I want to see her immediately get a little bit of a push because she has really rounded out into such a strong performer. We always knew she had it in the ring. She's always been a good television wrestler. She's been on TV like her whole adult life. But rounding out that character with that additional heel run, because a lot of people thought, oh, maybe she could just come on up to the main roster a while back. And then they did the heel run with her. People are like, man, really her, a heel? She killed it. She did such a great job. And now she plays like this, like, undercover jerk so well. So well. I just think that she's doing a great job. It's just the person she's going to face is, you got Mee Shin, Piper Niven, Nia Jax, Jade Cargill. So facing some big hitters there. Vandal, thank you so much for joining. First time watching your stream, thoroughly enjoying so far. Salute. Well, hey, we are so glad to have you here. Tell your friends, call up your mom, call up your aunt, especially if they look good, and tell them to tune in. Tell them to tune in and watch the Fightful post show with Sean Ross Sapp. Backstage, Roxanne is with Judgment Day, and you got Finn talking with Dominic, and Finn's like, hey, why are you in King of the Ring? And he's like, well, you had your Money in the Bank shot, so I didn't think that it would matter that much. I didn't think you'd mind. And then JD's like, yeah, and we're going to go for the tag titles anyway. And Finn's like, yeah, everything's coming up Millhouse. But then Liv walks through, and actually they congratulated Roxanne. Liv shows up. She's like, why are you all happy? Nobody should be happy right now. And Roxanne, to her credit, she's like, you know, I tried to work with you. Like, I tried to make that happen. I tried to make it work, and you didn't want to. And Liv is just not having it right now. Liv is pissed, and she's about to take it out on the world, which we see a little bit later as Nikki Bella shows up. And Nikki Bella does not look a day removed from her main WWE run. Fountain of youth, that woman. Looks like she has never stopped wrestling in the ring from just like a visual standpoint. Just looks exactly like she did during her main run. Her really good run, like 2016, 2017. But then Liv Morgan interferes. I'm so used to saying somebody interferes that I jumped right into that one. She came out, and Nikki was naming some of the great women's talent that have shown up since she main evented the first Evolution. And before she could even finish naming people, Liv's like, "Why didn't you name me? Hey, jerk, why didn't you name me?" She's like, "It's because you're jealous of me." And I was watching it with my wife. And as she said, "You're jealous of me," I go, "Oh no. Oh no, she's going to say it." And she did. She's like, "I got the titles, I got friends, and I got a man, unlike you." And the crowd was like, "Ah, damn." And listen, I know a lot of people are like, "I don't know how I feel about that line on Nikki Bella." First off, there is zero chance they do that line. And Liv would do that line without Nikki Bella being cool with it. Nikki Bella is going through a very messy situation that included, some very, very bad stuff. Like some, and I don't want to get too much into it because, you know, she preferred that it be a private matter. But like that man is trying to take all her money, all that stuff. And, if this is her way to sort of take back some of that power and to let people know I ain't with that loser anymore, and she's like, "Let's do business with that line," more power to Nikki Bella. I celebrate that. But it was certainly a wild line. It was a wild ass line, guys. But again, it's something that Nikki Bella almost certainly would have been okay with. And again, I suspect, I don't want to speak for her. She's a grown-ass woman, don't want to speak for her. But I would imagine it was taking back that power and letting everybody know that she is single within the WWE scope that might not know and say, just don't associate me with this dork anymore. This begs the question, after the attack, Liv Morgan, tag team champion, Nikki Bella, has a sister. I'm just sitting here saying, why couldn't you do the Bella twins, who are one of the most famous women's tag team? I mean, famous women's tag teams in wrestling history, quite frankly. Brie has come back since. I mean, people say, "Oh, well, Brian's in AEW. She did the 2022 Royal Rumble." That didn't stop her from doing that. I think they should do that. I would really like that. I've always wanted like Natty and Beth Phoenix to also get a run too, but I think we're more likely to see Beth Phoenix in AEW, to be honest with you. But I thought this was good stuff. I thought Nikki put over the match really well. And before that, she saw Kyrie and EO backstage, and it's kind of weird. Kyrie's like crying and ran away. I was like, what the hell is that about? And EO, oh God, I was waiting for the memes, and I knew the Misawa meme was going to happen. I knew the Nikiharu Belisawa comments from the old forearm she's got. We're going to happen where Io Sky was like, you paved the way for us. And like, not to minimize what Nikki Bella did or anything, but I'm just sitting here like, Io Sky debuted like 6 months before her. Io Sky has been wrestling longer than Nikki Bella. I was just like, all right, come on. Come on now. And I mean, I say this with all due respect to Nikki Bella, who I just want to say worked really hard to get better and was such a great part of that SmackDown 6 split women's division. But when did women's wrestling start exactly? Because I know one thing, Nikki started after Io. Just like, I want to say this. This is absolutely a thing that you could say. And even this person says, my wife, massive Total Divas Bellas fan, scoffed at that comment. I want to say this. You cannot downplay the effect of Total Divas. Like, that show was, like, transcended and reached people that you wouldn't believe. I taught a women's kickboxing class at Iron Fist Gym in Maysville. The number of people there who knew Jimmy Uso in that class and didn't know The Undertaker, I had people asking me, do you know Jimmy Uso? Not, do you know The Rock? Do you know The Undertaker? Do you know any of these people? Total Divas absolutely grabbed an audience that a lot of people didn't grab. I mean, here's also a funny one. I did have one of my friends ask me if I knew Marjo from Ms. and Mrs. as well, which is good. Io had a look on her face like, who is this? She's very good at that. What? Look as well. Like, she gets facial expressions really, really well. The Line Drive says, I appreciate Triple H's roundabout attempt to get Dragon versus Daniel Bryan out of retirement through the Bellas. My kid should be fun. What happened to Ludwig Kaiser? I don't have an answer on that, but I've been asking. I know for a little bit. He was doing like the international commercials because I watched the NordVPN.com/Fightful version. People guessing Dragunov is next week. Is he ready? So I don't have a firm answer on is he ready, but I would be shocked if he was ready. Because, I mean, that would be a near record time of coming back from that type of injury. Becky Lynch showed up. She walked into the venue with a Mrs. Rachel shirt on. People with kids or even people that know somebody that has kids know who Mrs. Rachel is. And that did like Mr. Iguana level numbers for me. Like crazy numbers. She cut a promo on Lyra and said that she demands an apology after the way that she was treated after winning the Intercontinental title. She said she's accomplished everything. And then Lyra comes out to confront her and Bailey attacks. I don't know what would have kept Bailey from costing Becky the title a couple nights ago. I'm just glad she's back, man. I'm just glad Bailey's back. She's so good. And the division has missed a little bit something without Bailey. And no, Bailey isn't a heel now. Zach, she's a babyface. But it's missed a little bit of something, but I want to say, Lyra and Becky have done such a really good job in this feud. And Lyra is getting over, and she threw Becky back in. Becky has just owned this heel turn, this heel run, and is doing excellently there. KE775 says, is it Bailey, Becky, Lyra in Saudi? And then Bayley versus Becky one-on-one at Evolution. Feels like Becky Bayley should be a blood feud. I agree with that. That's the direction I think they should go. That's how I feel like that one should go for Night of Champions. But then it's like, also, what is Io doing right now? Like, what's the world champ doing? Just thanking people for paving the way backstage? Get her a program. King of the Ring match. Dominic, Sami Zayn, Braun Breaker, and Penta. This is going to shock a lot of you, but there is interference in this match. Ryan says, interference made sense for men's, women's, nope. Sami Zayn ended up winning this. I'm going to sound like a broken record to this whole tournament, and I know it. I just want to clip this out right now. Hold on. The match was really good. Highlighted a lot of really athletic points. WWE is so good at doing these four-way matches. It just had that gosh darn interference that is used as a booking crutch. Of course, we saw this coming when the tournament started. And here it is again. There. So what we can do now is I can just clip that. And then we can just run that every single time over this tournament where that happens. Because you got four really good performers who went out and had a good match. Braun Breaker just doing craziest stuff. He is so freaking good. God, look at that. Look at the future right now. Jacob Fatu and Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker and Oba Femi. You've got big, bad sons of bitches. WWE has recruited some big sirloin beef sons of bitches. And it's interference again. Okay. All right. The Dominic DDT is also very cool. I love a good Blue Thunder Bomb, but yeah. Oh, I forgot to read this one. Dave Cost says, the dichotomy of the Liv character morphing. Becky Lyra and now Bayley. Everything is A+. Nikki looked great. Get her some phonetic spelling cards for Stephanie Becker. Asuka is back. Quite pleased tonight. Oh, Dave, there are just a remarkable number of things to be optimistic about regarding tonight. I mean, listen, even if you don't mind the interference, going to be a really, really good fatal four-way here, even though Jade's going to lose hers due to Naomi interfering probably. But Asuka's back. Nikki Bella is back. You're starting a program immediately. You're working some stuff there. Bayley is back. You got the Punk Cena stuff, and there is... There's some excitement. There's some nostalgia there. You've got the looming cash-ins as well. I think it's a very optimistic period. And I mean, listen, new world champion, which I'm happy about, even though I didn't mind Jey Uso. The R-Truth stuff, which we're about to talk about. If you all haven't checked out that video, I'll plug it in a minute. Vin says, what's your rating on this Raw out of 10, Mr. Sapp? Io Rhea got to be the main event of Evolution. Ooh. Damn. The main event of Evolution. I mean, I would always love Rhea Bianca one-on-one. I don't know if Bianca broke like two fingers from what I understood. But out of 10, I'd give this one probably a solid 7.5. It's on the Raw scale, though. But I'd probably settle at a 7 because there was some really bad booking tropes, but there was some really good stuff. Maybe as it ages, I'll go higher. Yeah. But you had a lot of good stuff on this show. By the way, a 7 for me. That's pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. Like, 8 would be me going like, oh, damn, incredible. 9 would be like almost nothing wrong, and 10 would be one of the best shows ever. But a good 7, 7.5, I think is fair. Karrion Kross was on the international break, confronted Sammy after he won the four-way. Sammy said he would prove him wrong, and he's worthy of being a champion. Yeah, this should have been on the main show. I do think this is one of the better Raws this year. I'll go a 7.5. Go 7.5. Why is everybody asking me if Jay's injured or something? Is there a report that I don't know about? I hopped right on the air. But got the iguana video package. My God. This guy is phenomenal. Like, the first time we saw Mr. Iguana, like, it sitting in the crowd at NXT, it's like, okay, yeah, he's going to be somebody this audience likes a lot. And he is. He certainly is. Drop your iguanas in the chat like Demon Diva is here. Demon Diva doing her live stream dressed up like Speed Racer, it looked like earlier, looking like she's about to wave a checkered flag. Man, Mr. Iguana. Here's the thing. Bet you they get those iguana puppets made way before these Mercedes puppets. AEW should have been on those puppets, man. Because WWE's going to have so many iguana puppets up your all's asses. You are going to think you are in a damn like reptile enclosure by the time you are done leaving a WWE show in the future. And he's going to be really good. He's going to be one of their next. R-Truth is moving on to a more serious role. Mr. Iguana is going to pop up and fill this like lighthearted role for a lot of stuff. And look at all these iguanas. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. Do y'all remember Acclaim, the video game maker? They had the iguana, or was the Iguana Entertainment? That's what it was. They just happened to do a lot of Acclaim's games, is what it was. They did like NBA Jam and Quarterback Club and South Park, all that stuff as well. Turok. There you go. Hell yeah, Turok. Well, there's not a lot I can say about the video package. FightfulSelect.com reported that he made very positive impressions. And I heard that like during the match, they were like, we got to get him to Money in the Bank. We got to get him to the Intuit Dome. Just incredible, man. Lince Dorado's spot on the iguana did the most engagement of anything I posted this weekend. Maybe including R-Truth. I'll check on that, but it was close. It was very, very close. Let me look. Okay, no, R-Truth beat him. R-Truth had 1.3 million views, 2.7K retweets. Let's check out the... No, it's close. Oh, actually, the iguana did more views, less retweets. And there you go, man. It's a battle of engagement right here. Battle of engagement. Jay Grell says, iguana puppet giveaway. 100% we will do an iguana puppet giveaway the moment they are out. Here's what I'll go ahead and ask you to do. We will work it into... We'll probably do 5. That's what we'll do. So go ahead and get subscribed to Fightful Espanol on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I am on Facebook at Sean Ross Sapp now, debunking all kinds of fake news. We got a TikTok, and we have, you know, a bunch of YouTube channels, Scraps, Overbooked. We're going to do subscriber giveaways the moment they release those puppets. We will do like 5 of them. And it will be exclusive to people who are subscribed. R-Truth comes out. Please check out my video on our channel where I broke down the dummies that still think that it's a work. Which, by the way, I just want to make this clear. WWE in a very official capacity confirmed to me that it was not a work and that there were negotiations throughout this week. Also, we're very complimentary over my line of reporting, which made me quite confident in myself. I don't have a tie. Tim says the Ron Killings promo was the best of the night. Jared says Ron Killings shutting down the what chance with I wish you would was an all-timer. Glad he's back. So I also want to give a shout out to Mike Johnson, who was all over this story as well. And I spoke with him a little bit about it. And he had something very important in that story. And it was that R-Truth wanted to come back as Ron Killings. And he played this masterfully. Let me talk about the promo first. Ron Killings came out, cut a promo, and he said, don't let anybody think that your voice doesn't matter and that you don't matter because you brought me back. You wanted our truth back, and truth is back. But a lot of people, people say, truth is too nice, he's too funny. The truth will set you free, and I am Ron Killings. Now, I had always suspected that he was secretly a genius. I do wish they would have leaned more into that and been like, no, he's actually a really smart guy. That's how he's been able to be around for 25 years. But he took his scissors and cut his locks off. Whew. Man. First off, the dedication to this run. After he did that, they got to do something substantial with him. If this man went out there, cut his own hair, his locks for this angle, and they fumble it and they don't do something good and satisfactory while they've got lightning in a bottle, boy, that'll be a big hit on the confidence of the booking. So I had people the other day say, oh my God, Sean's so anti-WWE because he's saying that this is a pivotal point in AEW to gain trust with the audience and all that. Well, look what they did. They brought his ass back. And it wasn't just because of the fans. It's because they lost a lot of trust in that locker room. They fired Santa Claus if Santa Claus could do a tope con Hilo. And then they did the right thing. They reversed course and they brought him back. They did exactly what they should have. That's why the Triple H comments didn't just sit wrong with me. They sat wrong with a lot of the roster that I heard from, to the point to where R-Truth himself came out and said, not a work. To the point to where his son came out and said, that's cap. Because all you had to do was go out there and say, we listened to our fans, and this was very important. Cody Rhodes said the perfect thing. We listened to our fans. Triple H could say, you know, a lot of people talk about Nick Khan being my boss, TKO being my boss, Ari being my boss. The fans are all of our bosses. That's how you babyface yourself in that situation. And you are looking at a guy right now that if any reasonable PR professional could get a hold of me, there are a billion things they would tell me to not say and do. So I understand how some people could roll their eyes at me even daring to offer that up. But here's the nature of what happened in case you all didn't hear. FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business, reported this. R-Truth was not, I don't want to say not answering phone calls, but was not like, yeah, I'll come back. Nick Khan had to get involved in these negotiations. They don't do that a lot. They save that for very special circumstances. And this became a very special circumstance for them. Ron Killings made it clear that he did want a serious run to end his career and to kind of ride out on. And he's going to get it as Ron Killings. Now, I also hope that this includes a TNA Slammiversary match as well, or appearance, because he is important to that history. And that was the one thing outside of WWE that I was specifically looking forward to. I know a lot of people said, oh man, well, he should go to AEW and pretend he's still in WWE and all that. I was excited to see Ron the Truth Killings pop up in TNA. Also, if you are still doing what chants in 2025, I want to say this again. You should be put in a penalty box. And then the moment you walk out, you should just be battered and beaten. Your wallet should be stolen. You should be put through a table, especially if you're doing it to R-Truth, Ron Killings, at this stage. It is such a dumbass level of getting yourself over. You idiots. You dumbasses. You absolute dweebs. One of the dumbest ass things humanly possible. Like this dumbass who did this twice, and guess what? Now you're in the penalty box, buddy. Go make yourself a burner. It is so stupid. Parker Hines says, wouldn't be surprised if Truth had a better last run than Cena. Well, listen, man. Cena's run so far has not been very inspired. It's been very lazy. Very lazy. Yeah, I banned the dude. I do love that Truth, or I got to get used to calling him Ron Killings again, said, I wish you would. Well, main event. Yeah, main event, Jey Uso losing the title to Gunther in what I thought was a really good match. So Jey Uso has this reputation as being a bad wrestler. Not a point that I necessarily throw out there because sometimes the match with Jimmy Uso was just terrible. Just really, really bad. The Logan Paul match, not good. Not very good. The first Gunther match, not great. Upon rewatch, Seth Rollins match was fantastic. The Braun Breaker match was really good. I thought tonight was the best match of his title reign. And not just because he lost. Gunther, I think, exudes world champion. But I think Jey Uso needed to be world champion. And I didn't quite get why so many people didn't understand that. Like, Jey Uso, they put so much stock and so much equity and so much time. Into building Jey Uso and helping him get to that main event level, not just in nickname, but in performance, and utilizing him during that Roman Reigns storyline, that I feel like they had to make him world champion. He was so impossibly over, and you need to reward that. You need to show people that if you go out and you do something special and you get yourself mega over, well, then that's good. That's what you want. And that will be rewarded in a major way. Thought the match was good. There was the German outside. Jey went for the sleeper early. Gunther did one of the better spears I've seen in WWE in a long time. Whew. I thought Jey Uso was fine as a champion. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a six-week reign. Go back and look at all the people. Let's go look. WWF Championship. And look at some of the people who had those shorter reigns. Because if you are a good performer, you'll get back there. Here we go. Ric Flair had a 41-day reign. Sid, when he beat Shawn Michaels, under 2 months. Mankind's reign. You know, Mankind's reign that everybody talks about, changing the tides of the Monday Night War. He held those title, or held that title for less than a month. Less than a month. I'm looking right now in the Attitude Era at ...17 straight reigns that lasted under 90 days, or under 91 days. It wasn't until like 2003 when really they went the opposite direction with it, and Triple H became champion, where they're like, okay, we gotta do a bunch of long reigns because we did so many short ones, that they did that. And now, listen, I think it's okay to do shorter reigns. It is okay to do that. Give us an aura of unpredictability. Look on the WWE title side of things. Cody Rhodes held the title for over a year. Roman Reigns held it for, what, almost 4 years? Or gosh, however long he held it. You've had AJ hold it for a year. You've had Brock hold it for over a year. You've had a lot of these one-year title reigns. CM Punk, John Cena. Like in the last 15 years... or gosh, last 18 years, you've had a lot of like 1+ year reigns. I think it's okay. I think he did a good job. He sold a lot of merch. He was good for business. Underlaker says, great show. The real world heavyweight champion has returned. I mean, everything that Gunther does exude champion to me. Thought process, says Pavi Pants. Jay lost. The Rocket Triple H mentioned was 3 months long. Oh, wait, Seth is going to cash in? No. He'll probably cash in on CM Punk. I mean, that would be a very funny thing for him to do if he cashed in on CM Punk after finally winning the title. But who's to say this is the end of the Jey Uso thing? If he can sustain this, if he can, you got to be able to afford losing the championship. Now, sometimes the title makes the man, but you want the man to make the title. And again, Jey Uso is so impossibly over that you got to reward that sometimes. Got to reward that sometimes. What if Jey is the mystery person now that he's out? He could be. Dave says, Jey, the fourth man in the qualifier next week. Well, it's not a qualifier. It's just the... that is the tournament, but yeah. Sammy, Jey in the finals. Cinema, I like that idea. Listen, with all the parallels that people draw between Jey Uso and Macho Man Randy Savage, I would kind of love a King Uso. That would be kind of cool, right? And you can tie that into the Tongans, their father being King Haku. You tie that in. Says Sammy, but then he says Sammy wins. Sammy wins the title at SummerSlam. Rollins cashes in. Cinema X2. Ultimate Pain. Not gonna lie, kind of great. Dave, I love that idea as well. Dave, I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think there are a number of people who could win the world championship. And it'd be a big one. Because like Sammy beating Gunther, because you know they've got their history. You could do that. That seems like the type of thing they would do again. And then Rollins just sliding in and pulling it out from underneath him, and Cross being like, "Man, I told you, you need to be meaner. Never bring your kid to a match with Gunther. It just motivates him more." Now that Gunther is champion again, does Kaiser get out of witness protection? I thought he stood a better chance being out of witness protection when Gunther wasn't champion, because I thought that a short feud where he effectively discussed or blamed Kaiser for his title loss would have worked really, really well there. I think that would have been good. TBK says, so when does LA Knight get rewarded? So glad that you mentioned that, because he was a person that I brought up or that I was thinking of when I said, if you get yourself over like that, you got to be rewarded at some point. Now, not everybody, unfortunately. But when it's multiple people, at least one of them's got to be. But I get it. A lot of people are not thrilled with the lack of LA Knight ever getting anything like that. And to me, LA Knight can survive any of that. And what I think he will start to get is one of those things where it's like, okay, well, now the crowd's going to be behind him because they don't feel like he's been done right. That's how I view that one. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much for tuning in. As of now, I'm planning to be on the Wednesday night show. I travel Thursday morning, but I will be here on Wednesday afternoon for a Q&A show. Jimmy will not be here this week, but I will be, by God. I'll be answering all your questions this week on what do you guys want to talk about? We changed the name. What's up, you guys? Show. I'm tired. I'm tired, okay? I want to thank Luis. I want to send all of you all to Fightful Espanol. If you speak Spanish, check it out. If you don't, follow me on Facebook. Trying to get that up and going, and I'm debunking a lot of news. Please check out the new video that we have where I talk about the R-Truth work shoot situation, and I'm going to be doing a lot more of those studio videos. We had an interview with Deanna Purrazzo last week as well. Until next time, my friends, we are out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.